Thinking about liberty this morning, I wrote liberty on the board. I feel like the Lord's given me some things about that today. You know, I think about liberty and how wonderful it is and how much we enjoy our liberty physically. How much we enjoy being able to do what we're doing right now with no fear. A lot of the world doesn't enjoy it in that way, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful we can get in the car, and we can head across the country with no fear at all. No stops necessarily, maybe a few for pest stops or whatever, make sure you don't have any fruit going in the wrong area or something from one area to another, but that's about all. And you know, this morning, liberty is an awesome thing. And there's different kinds of liberty today. I want to just think about several kinds of liberty that the Lord wants to give us and has purchased for us, purchased and given to us this morning. But first I want to look at Judges 4 and 1 to 3. And it says here, "And the children of Israel," again, "did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel." You know, I don't know all the things that this man did to the children of Israel. But it says 20 years he mightily oppressed them. You know, I think back about the time they were in Egypt and the oppressions they went through there. And they cried for mercy. And they, when it seemed it was unbearable, they cried for mercy. And what did they receive? Instead of what you've been doing and your straw being provided for you, you're going to get together the straw yourself now. The burden's going to even be heavier. You know, this man mightily oppressed those people here. I don't know what all he did. But that must have been pretty bad, because it doesn't say they were just oppressed. It says he mightily oppressed them. Do you know this morning, oppression is a terrible thing? The enemy loves to see people oppressed. The enemy loves to see people brought under the power of oppression. Some way to take away their peace. Some way to take away their righteousness. Some way to take away their guide in life. The enemy wants to oppress people today. And I will tell you this morning, he will oppress you if you will let him. But we must realize that God is a God that is over all of those things. And it says the people here, now they had disobeyed God and they brought this oppression on themselves. They had done this themselves. This wasn't something that was a fact of life like many of us deal with. But it says that the Lord then sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. And it says in verse 3, "The children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron." You know, that was a lot. Maybe they didn't have any. I'm sure he took them all away if they did. And they had 900 chariots of iron. There was no way for them. These people were well prepared, they were well secured, and they had their thing. And they had this Sisera to their captain, a man with power, a man who knew how to command an army. Do you know that the enemy is like that? He works very hard to get himself into a position of power over people, where he has them in a place that they can only say there's 900 chariots of iron. There isn't any way. But these people had a way, because they knew about the Lord. And it says they cried. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord for all this oppression. And you know, the Lord raised up a prophetess. And he raised up Barak, I believe it was. And he brought deliverance to his people. In spite of all of that impossibility, the Lord, it was no problem for him. You know, this morning, I want us to look at God in that way today. The Lord wants you and I to have freedom in him. There's several kinds of freedom. We may not always have freedom in the flesh. We may be under the yoke of another ruler someday that we don't like. We don't know that. We don't know what will come in our future. But I will tell you what we don't have to be under the yoke of, and that is the yoke of Satan. We do not have to be under the yoke of sin that destroys our inner man. It destroys. It takes away our relationship and hope of heaven with God. It takes away our dignity. It takes away the things that we could have within us. Sin does that. And the Lord came to deliver us from that yoke of bondage. And I want to talk about a couple of other bondages later, maybe one or two others. I'm thinking about the bondage of the yoke of fear that Satan wants to place on us that we cannot even so much as say amen, or he will jump on us. Do you know the Lord wants to set us free and give us liberty in the Spirit of God? He wants us to declare our freedom in the name of the Lord. He wants us to seek him until he rains upon us that freedom and righteousness and love of God that he wants to give us. He wants us to put our foot in the Jordan River, as you will, if you will, and step forward in the name of the Lord. And the Lord, I believe, will back us up. This morning, the Lord is wanting to give us liberty, folks, in our lives. He doesn't want us to be oppressed. Do you know there's over 2.2 million people incarcerated in the United States in jails and prisons today? Right now, over 2 million people incarcerated. Do you know why they're there? Most of them are there because of their sin. Their sin not only captivated their soul, it took them clear to the depths of where they can't have any freedoms. I looked up on the internet a little bit about what's a day in prison like. Well, you know, it didn't look too glamorous. It didn't look too good. You get told everything. You get fed what they feed you, basically. You get, or what they allow you to have any kind of, whatever they give you or whatever they allow you is what you get. You know, whenever they say you're going to get up, you're going to get up. And where they say you're going to go, you're going to go. All of those things, it's not a good thing. It's not a good place. But Satan desires for people to be under the yoke of oppression today. Not just sin, but he wants to take them so far in sin that he lands them up in the yoke of oppression where they have nothing, no dignity, ashamed, locked up, behind bars. He wants your life to be that way, even if you're not behind bars in prison. He wants your life to be locked up in shame and sin. And the Lord came to deliver us today. Thank the Lord. This morning, I want us to look to the Lord today. You know, these people, they had 900 chariots of iron. I'm sure those people knew that. They thought about it. They wished it wasn't so, but they couldn't do anything about it. But they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered them. And I want to encourage us today. I want to read some scriptures about how God wants to deliver us. That's what Jesus came for, was to give liberty to the captives. He came to set free those that were taken captive by the devil at his will, those that he is oppressing. The Lord is wanting to set free this morning. And I hope that we can get our eyes up on the Lord this morning and see that this God that sent his only son for my sin wants to set me free today. He wants that. He longs for that. He's not looking at the amount of our sin. He's looking at his blood. He's looking that he shed blood for us today that we might be free. I want to start in Isaiah 61 and 1 and listen to this blessed promise. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. You know who the meek are? The meek are the ones that will listen. The meek are the ones that will not resist the Lord. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has sent me to preach good tidings unto those kind of people, to the meek. You know, this morning, let's be meek. Let's listen to God. He's wanting to save us from the oppression of the enemy. He's wanting to deliver us from the things that would captivate our lives and keep us in that way. Listen to what it goes on to say. He hath anointed me to preach good tidings. In the New Testament, it calls it the gospel. We'll read that in a minute. Good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. What a promise. The Lord has sent to preach the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Folks, this morning, there isn't any reason for any of us to be bound today, because God sent his son that we could be free today. Now, people have every reason to say why they stay bound. There's 900 chariots of iron. We don't have any weapons. They've taken them all away. Don't have any dignity left. I don't know where. Listen, God wants to set us free this morning, and he wants to look on us to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And I want to talk about that just a minute here in when we read it in the New Testament. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Do you know the Lord has appointed something for you and me? Do you know he's appointed something for us? He said, I've appointed to them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes. Now, we've been burning a lot of wood lately. And I want to tell you something. All that's left is ashes. And if it's not burned completely, a few little chunks of wood in there. That's all that's left. And he said he is going to appoint to those in Zion beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Folks, I'm reading to you this morning from the Word of God. This is what the Lord has in mind for you and me today. Oh, doesn't he want to set us free today? Doesn't the Lord long to set us free? Doesn't he long to give us liberty for our prison sentence? Because the devil wants to sentence us forever. He wants to sentence us so that we go out and lost into an eternity forever. And the Lord wants to set us free tonight. That's the grace of God. You know, I want to look at this word liberty. It says freedom from restraint in a general sense, and applicable to the body or to the will or mind. The body is at liberty when not confined. The will or mind is at liberty when not checked or controlled. Now that means not controlled by an oppressor. A man enjoys liberty when no physical force operates to restrain his actions or volitions. Religious liberty is the right, free right of adopting and enjoying opinions on religious subjects and worshiping the Supreme Being according to the dictates of conscience without external control. You know, this morning, this liberty sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It sounds freedom from restraint. Do you know the devil wants to put restraints on you? He would like to take chains like he did Peter, and he'd like to chain you down. But when the Lord came along and sent his angel, I want to tell you something, those chains fell off of Peter. And he got up and he walked out through the locked gates. And he went out through the gates of the prison. And he went through those gates. And then he ended up going clear out to the gates of the city, and they opened of their own accord. How do you suppose that happened? Because God did it. That's how. He made everything, and he has all things under his control. And he decreed that those gates would open, and they opened. You know, this morning, I just want to encourage us that I know there's a lot of different ways people can be prisoners. But folks, the Lord came to set us free this morning. He came to give us freedom in our souls and freedom in our lives with the Lord. He came to give us freedom from ourself and from the things that would bind us. Do you know that self and sin is a terrible, terrible taskmaster? Do you know that people that are under the taskmaster of hatred are under a terrible chain? And some of them, and believe me, folks, these things are chains. They lock people up for life, and they're there until they go out into eternity in hell. That's what the devil, the oppressor, has in mind for every one of us. Folks, we have to declare our liberty in the name of the Lord. The Lord wants to give liberty and freedom to his people. You know, there is a terrible chain and a taskmaster of lust and lustful behavior and lustful ideas floating through the minds of people that lock people up, and they cannot be free unless God sets them free. Folks, listen. I know the enemy will war against our soul and our mind, but we don't have to come under his chains. We don't have to fall to the things. Have you ever been tempted with hatred or lust? Many of us have, probably all of us that have lived life a while. I want to tell you something. People hurt you deep enough, you will be tempted by the enemy. I would say probably everybody in the deepest kind of hurts. You know, to some it's more of a temptation than others. But folks, this morning, the Lord plans for us to have liberty today and freedom. He does not want us, he does not allow for it, for us to fall under those chains. And if we do, there is a way out, and that is that we cry unto the Lord God, and he delivers us today. You know, anger and jealousy, some people are given to that way more than others. Do you know that when we see the enemy using it, working in our life, the Lord wants to give us liberty, folks. You know, jealousy is something that not everybody fights. A few, I don't know how much of the population. Some fight it way more than others. But folks, people get locked in a jail cell of jealousy. And they're there. And they can't prosper. And the Lord cannot bless what they're doing, because they've got chains upon them. And the Lord wants to give liberty for those things today. Oh, the Lord wants to give us. You know, a man can be locked in prison because of his religious beliefs, as Peter was, Paul was, James lost his life, Stephen lost his life. I don't know all the particulars of Stephen's thing, but you know what? They can be free in their souls. You know, you can say, as Stephen did, Lord, don't lay this to their charge. Do you know the Lord can cause us to have freedom wherever we are? And he will, if we will allow him this morning. Lord, would you talk to our hearts today? Would you give us freedom in our lives, that we do not live under the yoke of bondage that Satan wants to give us? The yoke, until we look at it and we say, there's 900 chariots all around here, and there's not a thing I can do about it. Folks, That may be true in some cases. But there is one that came for the very purpose of setting us free. I want to look at Luke, the fourth chapter now, and where the Lord himself quotes this early into his ministry, Luke 4 and 17. And it says, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.'" Because, listen to the terminology here, the way it's written in the New Testament. "Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." To the poor in spirit. Basically the same thing as the meek. Those that will humble themselves and listen to God and others. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind." You know, I don't know where you're at today, but if the devil has blinded you and you can't see the things of God, the Lord came to give recovering of sight to you. We can't see our way. We have no idea how to get there. I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus came to give recovered sight to you and me and give it back to us, sight that we had. It says, recovering of sight, "to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, do you know, on down here, you read in verse 28, it says, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." Now, Jesus said a few more things here, but I will tell you what he said here when he said the acceptable year of the Lord. Do you know, they knew exactly what he was talking about. In the Old Testament, it makes it much more plain that he's speaking of the year of Jubilee. It's a time when the release, I'll just read this little sort of definition of it, release of debts and obligations of bondmen and bondwomen, of lands and possessions which had been sold from the families and tribes to which they belonged. Do you know, something that was theirs originally came back to them in the year of Jubilee. And Jesus said he came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the time, folks, when it's given back to us. This is the time, thank the Lord this morning, when God gives back to us those blessings and goodnesses that he intended for us to have to start with. This morning, let's don't sit under the hand of Satan's oppression and let him wear us out until we believe there's no hope. Let's don't allow Satan to do that. Oh, this morning, let the Lord proclaim to us the year of Jubilee. The time when it's coming back to us. The time when what was rightfully ours, we get. That's what God planned for us to have. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. And this morning, we want that, don't we? We want that. I want to go on now because I'm going to go to several different thoughts of liberty, of oppression, of what God wants to do for us this morning. In John the 8th chapter, John 8 and 31 to 36. And listen to what Jesus said to these people. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, 'If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Folks, the truth is very important this morning. The truths that we know are very important. "They answered him, 'We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, I'll tell you something today, folks. The servant of sin does not enjoy a very good life. Sin is a hard life. Sin is when we are doing things that we know God is displeased with. Do you know that when people do that, the hand of God that blesses people's lives cannot bless that? Do you know He cannot put His favor on that? Do you know the devil puts his little thing on that? What, his little curse? The devil does that this morning. Folks, the Lord came to set us free from that. And He said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now listen to what He goes on to say. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Abideth ever. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, what's it say? You shall be free indeed. You're just going to be free, really free. Free indeed. That's what you're going to be when the Son sets you free. This morning, let's look to the Lord. Folks, we sometimes look at things as if, oh, I could never, there's too much there, too many chariots of iron, too. The whole world tells us that people cannot live for God without committing sin on a daily basis. Folks, much of the world does. He says here, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. That's the very reason the Lord came. He came to take care of the sin problem. He came to set us free, that we can live for Him. And so, if we are bound and in bondage, I want to tell you what we need. We need to get real close with the Lord and draw up to Him and plead His blood until He saves us from sin, until He washes us from sin. That's what the Lord wants to do this morning. He wants to cleanse His people. The Lord doesn't have a dirty people. He has a clean people. This morning, that's not harsh or ugly. Folks, that's our only hope. That's our only hope, is that the Lord will come and cleanse us. So what we need is, we need to work at our salvation and work out our salvation. But folks, the real power comes when we get the Lord working for us. And He said He came to do that this morning. He came to set us free today. The Lord help us to enjoy that, like the Lord plans for it. I want to look in Romans 6 and 14. This is a place that people are bound, and they will defend their chains. They will defend their cell. But folks, this morning, the Lord came to set us free. In 6 and 14 of Romans, He said, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Do you know that under the law, all they had was the commandments? They were constantly under sin. They did not have the same grace that we have. They did not have the same thing that Christ came to bring to us. They had the law that told them what not to do, but they didn't have the grace of God to give them the power to do it. And so He says here, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death. Sin brings death. It brings a separation. That death means a separation. It means a change. And sin brings that to people, even Christians. When it brings death, it brings a separation from God, a separation from our hope of eternal salvation. And so He says here, know ye not that to whom, let's see, ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, it's not new that that terminology is used. He says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness, changed masters, because one came and gave us the grace of God and gave us the deliverance of God. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded yourselves members to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, it brings more, doesn't it? Even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's the gift of God this morning. Oh, we want the Lord to give us His liberty today. I want to look at a place or two here in 2 Peter 2 and 2. 2 Peter 2 and 2. You know there are false liberties. Do you know that not every liberty that is proclaimed is real liberty? It says here in 2 and 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Do you know that the world will preach a very forceful message of liberty of the flesh? It's the wrong kind of liberty, folks. It's a liberty that is wicked. It's a liberty that gives people license to sin. Now, they won't say that like that necessarily, but that's what it does. And this morning, the Lord wants to give us liberty. He says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Now, isn't that what Jesus said over back over there? That he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. So, folks, when people are going about disobeying God, that's what sin is. It's a willful transgression against God's, the knowledge of what God wants us to do. And when we do that, we sin. And he says here for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. What a scripture. That's a little scary, isn't it? Folks, we don't want to fall back because it says that the latter end is worse than the beginning before we ever went that way. So I just want to encourage us this morning. We're talking about this kind of liberty for a few minutes. We talked about physical liberty. The second verse of Romans 6 says, and part of it says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's just something God wants to give us today. Romans 8 and 21 says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You know, it is a glorious liberty this morning. It is something the Lord wants to give us. He wants to give us liberty, freedom to serve the Lord without the power of guilt, of sin, and shame on our life. I know the devil will accuse. I know the devil will try to bring anything he can. That's his very nature. He will do that. But folks, we don't have to be under the bondage of sin, knowing that we're displeasing God and going directly against the commandments he has given. I know there's a place for growth in the Christian life. We will do that. But the same ones that say that we all sin more or less every day take it much further than the fact that we need to grow in grace and need a little more patience. They lie. They do bad business deals sometimes. I've had them tell me these kind of things, okay, that they feel like they would be fine if they did. Well, folks, this morning the Lord came to bring us a glorious liberty this morning, and I thank Him for it. It's not a liberty to be our old self or to go in the ways that we would go, but it's a new man in Christ, a liberty to be a new man, a different kind of man in the Lord. I want to talk about one more kind of oppression that the enemy wants to bring on people. And before I say that, I want us to keep in mind as we go through here that the Lord wants to give us a liberty to praise and thank the Lord. He wants to give us liberty to do that and set our tongue free. The Lord wants to give us liberty to pray and to testify of God's goodness. Now, sometimes we have to pray for those things. We need to see that we need them. Folks, if we want sinners to respect the dealings of God and come to this open altar and confess their sins, the least we can do is let God have liberty with us. It sets the stage for liberty all the way across the board. And so when we see, Lord, I want there to be liberty in our services. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here. We'll come back to some of that. But we want there to be liberty in our services. We want that. We long for that to be more and more. Not liberty to say anything we want to say or anything that comes to our mind, but liberty to be moved upon by the Spirit of God. Liberty to say amen. Liberty to feel that. Liberty to say praise the Lord. Liberty to give testimonies in the Lord. Now, I believe Wednesday night, folks, we come here and we have wonderful testimony services, and I appreciate it. But don't let the devil steal your testimony. That's something that God wants to give you. He wants to set that at liberty, and He wants us to be able. Will we be accused when you sit down? Does the devil ever say, don't you ever get up again and make a fool of yourself like that? How many times has he told you that? I don't know how many times he's told me that, but enough. But you know what? We have to demand our liberty, folks. When we take our liberty in the Lord, it sets the stage for the Lord to be able to work with the unsaved. That's many times when the saints are taking and using their liberty in the Lord. And like I say, I'm talking about liberty in the Lord. His movings, his unction, His burden, those things that He gives. We want that this morning, including our testimonies. But first we want to look at a couple of three scriptures maybe or so or a little more. Acts 15 and 1. There is a false righteousness that enslaves and captivates people's souls too. And another kind of liberty, a religious oppression that the enemy wants to bring in on people's lives. Now we look here in Acts 15 and 1, it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said," certain men said this, "except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." Well, now, what is that? Why did they have the liberty to come in and say, unless you follow the part of the law of Moses, you can't be saved. You know, people will come in and do that. They will try to bring us under some kind of bondage in our lives, in our physical lives, or in they'll do that. The enemy just wants to bring people under bondage. He'll do it any way he can. He'll take all the room we will give him. And he'll take that. And he'll take more and more. We've seen that. I want to read on here. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now, you know, Paul already knew. But they had something they had to deal with here. Do you not know, folks, the devil is very bold. He will do everything he can to take our liberty in the Lord. He will do everything he can to... It didn't matter that it was Paul the apostle. It didn't matter that it was Barnabas. The enemy will try to work all he can. And so, in Philippians 3 and 8, I want to read another scripture here. Philippians 3 and 8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found of him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith, that I may know him. See, we've got to know the Lord. We've got to know the Lord. And Paul, at one time, he counted on the fact that he was living by the old law. And that was his justification. And that made him okay. But he had no relationship with the Lord. And so he said, I count all those things but refuse. They're all just, they're just manure. They're just something. It's not something I want in my life. Because I want to know him. I want to know the Lord. I want to draw close to him and know him, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know, I've seen people that will all pretty much just wear the same uniform. You know, that is of the devil. That is something that Satan wants to bind people with. And wants to, he wants to capture people with those things. The Lord doesn't want us. He made us all different on purpose. And he likes that difference, I believe. He made us to like different things. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to be careful that our real thrust is that we know him, that we live for him, that we have a prayer life that touches him, that we know God hears our prayers, and that we know the line is open between us and God. And folks, when that happens on a consistent basis, the Lord will help us with all the other things in our life. All of our questions, our needs, our weaknesses, our deficiencies. Do you know he knows about all those things? And he's not looking at us, trying to condemn us. The Lord is looking to us, trying to give us freedom from everything we will allow him to this morning. And then Galatians 5 and 1, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I have found that when people have been in the bondages of these kind of things right here, the bondages of the flesh in religion, it is so hard for them to truly come out of that and be free and be unentangled and yet not swing over into the liberty of the flesh. It is so hard for people because Satan has damaged them where they are. This morning, the Lord loves us as we are. He loves us to come to him as we are and tell him who we are. He already knows it. and confess to Him everything about us. Lord, I need Your help. I want to serve You and I want to live for You. Oh, don't the Lord want to give us that this morning? We're almost out of time, but I want to talk about one more. Liberty. And we already spoke of it some, but liberty in the Spirit of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, I want to look here. First Thessalonians 5 and 19, it says, very short little verse, quench not the Spirit. Do you know that the devil will do everything he can to make us quench the Spirit? And there's two ways to quench the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord wants to work, and He wants us to give Him freedom in our life. He wants us to search for that and look for that and allow that to work in our life, in our services. The Lord wants to set our tongue free to praise Him. I believe that. Let's ask for it. Let's look up to the one that can do that for us. Lord, set my tongue free. And then we fear if I pray that way, He might want me to praise the Lord out loud. Wouldn't that be awful? You know, this morning, folks, the Lord wants to set us free. He wants to set our tongue free that we can worship Him. Do you know what a blessing it is when it comes from the heart, when the Spirit of the Lord is working with us and those good things happen? I was just thinking about some of the little terminologies the Scripture uses. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, one place it says. Now, I know it's not talking about this particular thing, but you know the Spirit speaks expressly. Don't we love that when the Spirit speaks expressly? Don't we love that in the service? Don't we love that when we hear somebody that the Spirit is speaking expressly through? Isn't it a challenge to our soul? Because the Spirit of God witnesses, doesn't it? There's something that feeds our souls from those things. The Spirit of the Lord, you know, He sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. Do you know that if we will allow the liberty of the Spirit of God, we won't have to make our own place? Do you know that the Lord sets the members in the Lord sets the members in the body, and He makes a place for those members, and our gift makes room for itself? That's when the Spirit of God is working and witnessing and feeding. Folks, the Spirit of God, it's not just in the pulpit. It's not just in one area or another. It's in everything. The Lord wants this to be a well-oiled machine, if you want to call it that. He wants it to be a well-oiled thing that works all across the board. He wants you and I to use our gift in the Lord. He wants us to recognize the Lord has a place for me. And He wants to place me in the body as it pleases Him and use that gift. Did you know God has that in mind for you and me? Every one of us, He has a place for us and He wants to use us in that place. Lord, let us let You have liberty in our lives. Let us call for it. Let us seek for it. The one that sets people free, the one that proclaims liberty, is the one that will put us in the body as it pleases Him. He's the one that will satisfy the need that we have to feel like we're a part and there's a place. But many times our flesh draws back, or we don't allow the Lord that place. We're over here battling with battles the Lord wants us to overcome and get beyond. And He wants us to go on and present ourselves. Lord, I want You to have liberty in my life. That's a liberty that we have to give God, because He won't take that. Lord, give us liberty. Give us liberty in our midst. Work in any way You want. Tell me anything You want, Lord. I'm willing if You'll tell me. Teach me Your ways. Show me Your paths. Let our services, let the church of God be what I believe the church of God, the Lord made it a place of liberty in the Spirit of the Lord, a place of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost working day by day And I see that. I want to see more of that. I hope that we can become challenged this morning, that we don't feel cast down, but we feel a real challenge and a real unction. Lord, let me come to that place that you want to be, that you want to work in my life this morning. We want the Spirit of the Lord to work wonderfully. You know, I believe the Lord said it right when he told the parable of the talents. And one of them had one and they went and hid it. And so it made more burden on the one that had ten. Folks, if you have one talent, let's pray to God. Lord, I know I don't feel like, I know I don't want to do this little bit. Somebody told me a while back, it's the biggest job for them to come up and adjust the thermostat in front of the people. Almost more than can be bear. Almost more than can be borne. Just too big a job to do. You know what? I understand. I feel that way too sometimes. You know what? It's things that we have to declare our liberty on. This is the place the Lord put me. This is the place I'll work and do my very best. And Lord, I'm going to draw close to you because I want your Spirit to be working in that. Oh, how I appreciate when I see the Spirit of the Lord working through you folks. It is a blessing. I cannot explain how I enjoy that. But let's don't take our talent and feel like it's not very much. It'll be effective and it'll make room for itself. That's the way God works in those kind of things. It makes room for itself. You don't have to break walls down to get your talent to be used, because when it's the Spirit of the Lord, he opens the doors. That's the way the Spirit of the Lord works. And he will work that way. What we need to do is pray a little more. Lord, let your unction, let your Spirit be manifest, and let that be all that's manifest. I believe when we do that, I believe the Lord will work with us in wonderful ways, in all of us. And I want to read just a little bit more here. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lord, would you be in my life? Would you be in our home? Would you be in our congregation? Would you dwell amongst our people? Lord, would you be glorified in the ways that you want to be glorified? Would you touch the hearts of men? Oh, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. This morning, I just want to leave those thoughts with us. We have to take care of liberties. We have to protect them because Satan will steal them. We have to keep them fresh from the Lord, and the Lord will do that for us, folks. You know, Satan wants to take our liberty. He wants to paralyze us with fear. He wants to accuse us. He wants to try to overwhelm us. I have noticed something. I've realized, I don't know how to say this, but if you work on the front lines a little bit, folks, Satan will take a swing at you. And when the Lord is wanting to do something special is when the devil will begin to work in an unbelievable way. I've seen it over and over. And folks, this morning, when the devil begins to work against you, know and realize it may be because God is wanting to do something. And many times that's the way it is. This morning, I want to encourage us not to allow the enemy to take our freedom, and not to allow the enemy to take the working of the Spirit of God out of our life and out of our hope this morning. Satan would have us all locked up in a little cell of fear. Fear to even say amen. Fear to lead out in prayer. Fear to take the responsibility sometimes that has to be taken of prayer. or of a testimony or whatever. Sometimes those things lie at our doorstep and it's our time to do it. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to be moved enough that we're willing to let the Lord work in our lives. I trust the Lord will take this to our hearts. I hope the burden of my heart has been communicated this morning. That God gives us liberty, folks. Liberty in the Lord. Not in the flesh, but in the Lord. In the Spirit of the Lord. Amen.